Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
This manager was really focused on day-to-day, month-to-month production. They really weren't looking at the big picture. And because they were so focused on, what are you doing for me today? I am all about looking at the big picture and looking at the results to longer-term results instead of short-term results. And by doing that, I was really building relationships with these clients. And as I started building relationships and having them trust me, the sales started to come. And so this manager was starting to really understand that by doing that, that they were able to get results stronger than they were getting before. And instead of being at the top, top five of managers, this manager ended up being number one.
We've all been there. New job, new industry, and new person on the team. And you come in with all of these expectations and hopes about what your new career is going to look like. And before you know it, a lot of those hopes turn into dread. And why do they turn into dread? Because you're working for somebody who just doesn't get it. Today's story is about Angie Collins, who joined a new organization from a new industry. And as the new employee on the team, had a way of working that didn't align with what her manager expected. And we've all been there where we've worked for these managers who just seem not to be able to get it. They are so focused on the short term that they don't see the bigger picture. And unfortunately, if you don't play the situation properly, you can end up completely nuking your career. And you're often finding yourself in a situation where you can feel trapped. So how do you navigate that sort of situation? And that's what we're going to tackle today in our conversation with Angie Collins. So a little bit about Angie. She's got over 25 years of experience in the financial industry and joined Town Bank in 2020. Her focus has been on delivering tailored solutions that align with her clients' goals. And as a private banker, she's able to offer the highest level of financial expertise and personal attention and build strong long-term relationships. Angie is active in the community as a board member for the Chesterfield Partnership for Successful Living, serves as a Richmond cabinet member for Free Kind Organization, and enjoys attending local community outreach programs and events. Angie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a fun conversation. And as somebody who occasionally watches reality TV shows, we watch those to see other people screw up. So now it's for both of us to be on camera and talk about how things didn't go exactly how we planned in our careers. So with that being said, let's tear the Band-Aid off. And why don't you tell us about that moment in your career where in the moment you were like, oh, this is not good. What was that moment for you?
Yeah. So early on in my career as a relationship manager, I was really made the mistake of focusing on selling products instead of really understanding the client's long-term financial goals. And what didn't help with that was that I had this manager that was so focused on meeting their own individual goals that they constantly were asking me, what products did you sell today? How many products did you sell today? We would have daily sales calls. At the end of each day, I was being asked, how many products did you sell? It was really intimidating.
It's interesting that you describe your early experience that way, where you have a manager who apparently isn't paying attention to how you're wired and they're constantly talking to you about the product side of it. What I'm curious about is when you landed this position, was this the first type of this role that you had, or was this something that you had experienced before and it was just a transition into a new company?
When I landed this position, it was my first time in banking. I had been in a different role prior. I had been in a management role, but when it came to property management role, I was focused at that time on managing residential apartments. And I had a team that I managed. And so when I went into banking, it was totally something totally different.
That's really interesting. So I'm thinking about your experience that you've talked so far. You got this manager that's all in your kitchen. You're in a new industry. You went from property management into banking. So it's a completely new domain that you're working in. You went from a manager role to an individual contributor role. So there's a lot of new that you're dealing with. And when I think about being in that sort of position, because we've all been new at some point somewhere, it can feel like the walls are closing in. Was that what you were experiencing in those moments where you're having all of this stuff thrown at you?
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. So going into a brand new role, it was definitely I had been so successful in my past role as a manager and managing these properties that I wanted to go right into this banking position and be successful. And it was overwhelming because there was a lot I had to learn. And then I had a manager that was expecting me from day one to just, I was thrown in there. And we had all these financial product solutions to help for clients that I really needed to learn the products, as well as how can I help the clients to meet their long-term goals by offering these products. And then I'm thrown in saying from day one, how many products did you sell to this client?
So we're just piling on the bad or the ick on top of this. So you have new industry manager who doesn't get it. You have to learn, but all of the pressure is on execution. How do you execute well when you don't even know the product? These are all really big problems. And then we layer on top of it, this is banking. At the time that when you look back, what did that industry look like? What were you dealing with in terms of the landscape of the industry, the landscape of people within the industry, the people that you're reporting to? What did you see and feel there?
So I had to take a step back and really think about not had this manager, but then I had to think about the team surrounding me, the other bankers, my teammates, partners that I had. And so I really started to kind of rely on them to help me. How am I going to learn and be able to maneuver through this challenge that I was going through? And one of the things that I really thought about is I really need to take time to really listen to what my clients had to say and not try to focus on selling them a product from as soon as I met them, but really trying to understand what their long-term financial goals were. And really, it was like a aha moment to remind myself that I needed to just kind of think about my values and wanting to make sure that I was helping them to meet their goal of long-term success, as well as meeting my goals, long-term success. So really understanding their needs and then kind of taking time to just review that myself and really review the products at the same time to be able to think about what long-term would I want to help them succeed.
I get that from a theory perspective. And I also get that from a mindset perspective. It's fine to want to do this as your normal operating rhythm, but you're still dealing with this manager who doesn't think that way and wants you to do it their particular way. How did you navigate that sort of disconnect between how you operate versus how the manager operated or wanted you to operate?
What I started doing is I started documenting every client interaction, what we discussed. If I didn't at the time offer a specific product, I documented why I didn't document this product. I also brought in other team members within the bank to help with maybe thinking about some other products that we could bring in, even if it was going to be down the road. But when I met with my manager, I started to explain the approach that I had and how that was going to really build trust and lead to referrals to larger sales down the road. There were some products that I could sell in the meantime that were some smaller products that kind of complemented the larger products. And that kind of got to the numbers that this manager felt like they needed to have on a daily basis. But to really bring in the revenue and to really take care of my clients' needs, I really needed to focus on their goals and really what to help them eventually succeed is going to bring, that's going to bring in the revenue that's going to be needed for the bank. I also asked, when I was meeting with my manager, I said, how are they able to, when they were in my role, how are they able to balance meeting their sales goal as well as doing what's best for the client, getting feedback from them to kind of to sit back and think, how did they do that? The other thing that I thought about is the mission statement of the bank, which is always around integrity and really service for the client comes first. And so when I was talking with my manager, I stated the bank's mission statement and really try to look at their buy-in on that as well. And so it definitely took time, but I think I felt like that my manager was starting to really see that I had what was in the best interest of not only the bank, but as of the clients. And if I was going to put all, if I was really going to really listen to what the clients said, do what was in the best interest for them, success was going to come, and success started to come, and they started to really believe in me, and I was able to show. And it seemed like it was definitely a challenge at first. You just have to go with what you feel is the right thing to do and stick to your guns on that.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show. So there's a couple of things that you did that I like that I want to expand on. One, you brought up the question, how did you navigate this when you were in my shoes, balancing short-term and long-term? And this was a conversation that you had with your manager. And then you also presented some options in terms of things that were longer plays that would end up having bigger revenue implications to the overall book of business. So those two things, presenting alternatives as well as trying to get the manager to go back to their time as an individual contributor. And there was a third element that I liked about what you did, which was tie everything through to the core values of the organization. So when you did all of those, that's usually not something that you see done at a junior employee level. So how did you come up with those three sort of pillars of your approach to managing this?
I thought about my values growing up and how I was taught and just how I navigated my own personal life's journey. And I had to take a step back because I was excited about going into this new industry, into banking. I wanted to show that I could be successful, but then I had this challenge in front of me and I wasn't feeling good about the new role. I had to take a step back and really think about how can I navigate through the challenge that's been put in front of me. And with that, it really helped going back to my values growing up and what was important, which was trust, integrity, doing the right thing. And it just helped me to navigate with this manager and ask them the same thing. How did you navigate through it when you started out? What you're a leader in your role and at this bank, and there's a mission there to do what's right for the client, to strong values with who you are.
There's another part that I want to dig into, and that this is something that you mentioned earlier, that when you were going through this process, you had to rely on some of your team members. What sort of insight or intel did they arm you with that better equipped you to navigate this relationship?
Yeah. So when I talked to my teammates, they were able to give me some insight on this particular manager. And this manager was really focused on day-to-day, month-to-month production. They really weren't looking at the big picture. And because they were so focused on, what are you doing for me today? I am all about looking at the big picture and looking at the results to longer term results instead of short term results. And by doing that, I was really building relationships with these clients. And as I started building relationships and having them trust me, the sales started to come. And so this manager was starting to really understand that by doing that, that they were able to get results stronger than they were getting before. And instead of being at the top, in the top, like top five of managers, this manager ended up being number one. And it was really, really looking at the team and looking more at that approach of focusing on longer term than the day-to-day sales. And so the manager actually started to kind of to change. We weren't having the day-to-day sales calls. It was more, we were meeting on weekly, just kind of more of a check-in, and it wasn't, the pressure was not like it had been. And it was, and the team as a whole was able to feel more comfortable, more relaxed. They were able to really spend more time with their clients and really understanding. And the team as a whole was able to produce more than they had done before.
So when you look back on all of that, that's a tricky set of scenarios to navigate. New industry, new job, completely out of whack in terms of gender dynamics within the industry. You're learning while having the pressure to execute. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that we already covered as well. And you were able to manage through that and get your legs underneath you. When you think about that, what were the key things that you learned from going through that experience that helped shape your future growth and development within the industry?
I think the biggest thing that I learned is staying true to myself, staying true to my values, staying true to the clients, and staying true to the bank's mission. And so I think by doing all of that, I was able to show that success, this is how success happens. If you stay true to who you are, what you believe in, then you're going to come out ahead in the end. Also, really taking the time with the people that you work with and explaining why you took this, why you're going down this road instead of someone's telling you should do this. Maybe that's not always the correct way to navigate. Maybe you can show that there's some other options available, and that if you look at those other options, then maybe you would come out ahead.
I like what you said about staying true to yourself, true to your values, and aligning the mission of the organization and the values of the organization to what you do. That makes sense. And for people that have, where this isn't their first rodeo, like you and me, that makes all the sense in the world. But I'm sitting here thinking about that person that's early in their career, that's maybe the first time in a new industry or whatever, and they hear that and they say, well, that sounds all fine and good, but I just don't want to be hassled at work. Maybe the best option for me is to keep my head down and my mouth shut. How would you respond to that person?
I can definitely see where someone would feel that way, where they would just feel like they don't want to rock the boat, not say anything, not deal with any controversy. But in the end, is that going to make you happy? Are you going to want to stay in a role where you are doing something that you don't feel right with, you know, that you're not agreeing and it's not making you happy? It's not driving success. I don't think you would want to stay in that role and not actually give your opinion. It's not that you have to say, no, I'm not going to do that, but at least just give your opinion and explain why you're giving that opinion.
The part that I would probably add on to that is if you played the role of good soldier and you've tried to like change hearts and minds and it's still not working, go somewhere else where people will actually respect you and want you to be heard. So that's my two cents, but I tend to be a little bit direct when it comes to that sort of stuff. So we've gone through your experience and what you experienced when you started out and how you navigated that and what you learned from it. What are some of the ways that this actually helped you fast forward your career by taking this approach?
Yeah. So if So if I would have just looked at short-term answers or providing products in the short term, I wouldn't have built these long-term relationships with clients over the last 25 years of my career, because I really listened to what they had to say and really looked at their long-term goals. Clients that I started out from the beginning, I'm now working with their children. Not only was I able to help them meet their long-term goals, they've referred me to their friends, their families. I was able to work with that next generation.
If folks want to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I am a private banker at Town Bank. And if you go out to Town Bank's website, you can actually find me on the website. It'll show my location, which is in Chesterfield, and also my email address and my phone number. And I would love to have a conversation with anyone that's interested in looking at banking and just helping you even with any advice you have when it comes to banking.
Great stuff, Angie. Appreciate you hanging out with us. When I think about this story, there's a couple of things that stand out to me that's important to pull out. I think the big thing that you're talking about is how do you build a customer for life? And that's actually a great book that people should read that gets you out of the mindset of being a transactional sales professional and more of a relational and long-term thinking professional in general. So it's highly recommended. But when I think about what you did in your experience in managing your manager, there's four key elements of that framework that you employed. First, you came with solutions. It's not enough to say that you have a problem with something that's happening. You actually presented some solutions and built a business case. So I thought that was important. But you tied those solutions to values that are embedded into the organization. And that's an important lesson for anybody that's new in an organization to understand. When you're making your case, if you tie it to the stated core values of the organization and the mission of the organization, you're always going to be in good shape in terms of how you navigate these conversations. And then the other part that you did is that you actually brought your manager back to when they were an individual contributor and asked them, how would they actually navigate the situation, or how did they actually navigate the situation when they were confronted with the same solution? So that is tapping into the empathy of the person that is sitting across from you as you're making your case. And through this all, through this entire process, you remained authentic to the things that you believed strongly in. So when you're looking at successfully executing any sort of business case or change initiative or managing your managers, present solutions, be values and mission driven, tap into empathy and be authentic to yourself. And if you use those four elements, you're always going to end up in strong footing. And you might not get your way, but at least you can walk away from that scenario saying you made the best possible case you could make and move on without having to feel bad about it. And the net of all of that is that if you go through that effort on a regular basis and you try to impact change that way and it doesn't work out, that's your signal that this isn't a place for you. So you should go somewhere where you're going to be heard and seen as an individual and be respected for the perspective that you bring to the table. So I appreciate you sharing that with us and hanging out with us. For those of you who've been listening to the conversation, thanks for hanging out. If you like the show, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and then tune in next time where we'll have another leader sharing with us the game-changing experiences that really made the difference in fast-forwarding their careers. Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.